solo mio, I like to groan, I like to complain all of the time, and I sing a song to make my complaining all the more interesting, all the more interesting. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, complaining from campus, here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Can you imagine what it would be like to live with someone who is complaining all the time? Complaining, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Now, what is complaining all about? You had an idea, Rex, to Love, huh?
A complaint, yeah.
Rex, Love had an idea that complaining was barking when you weren't getting attention. Mm-hmm. And that's what complaining is all about. Now, today is a lovely Thursday, and among many things, I had several phone calls, and Ellen had several, and every phone call we had was a complaint. Somebody was complaining about life not treating them right. And, you know, I took out my pill book for them, and I prescribed medicine for them. And they said, well, how do you know how to prescribe for complaints, you know? And I said, well, a complaint is one thing. A complaint is feeling sorry for yourself. A complaint is feeling sorry for yourself. I was asking someone to work on my computer, and I said, now let's move this onto there and do this onto there, but what if it doesn't work? It probably won't work, and how do we do that? It doesn't work. I say, now, don't do that. Don't do that. And, of course, you say you didn't do that, but you did. And we don't say when we start out with a project it doesn't work. I was talking with my beloved Christy over in London just a few months ago, and Christy was telling me that she's working on a special project, and she has to have it done by October 2nd, and that she has, the whole hospital is in the process of reorganization and reprogramming. And I said, you know, Christy, you are a spectacular woman. You are the head nurse of your hospital. You are the head nurse of the nursing operations there. And they want to give you the Queen's office. They want to give you the ideal location. They want to give you everything. And since you have this project that you're working on, which needs to be done by October 2nd, and you have several other projects you're working on that need to be done, Christy, have you ever heard of the word delegation? You delegate. You delegate all these tasks that you felt only you could do. And truly only you could do them because you felt only you could do them. But if you start giving them to somebody else, you'll find that they can do them too. And surprisingly, they can do them just the way you ask them to do it, as beautifully as you ask them to do it, and right now. And she says, I know, but... And I said, get your butt out of the way. Start saying, I know, and I do that. That's what I do. I said, you know, if you complain, I'm not complaining. Yes, you are. You're complaining that you have these things to do and you don't have the time to do it. You know? Now, is there anything wrong with working night and day? No. You can work night and day. If you are a fool, you work night and day. But if you're a brilliant genius like you are, as I said to Christy, she is a brilliant genius. If you're a brilliant genius like you are, and she's already listened to my talks for today that I've already got on the net, she's right on top of things. But if you're a brilliant genius like you are, you will just delegate your opportunities to other people and go on with your work. In fact, the project you must get done by the second, you might have someone else go to work on it. Take each one of your nurses, your quality nurses, and ask each one to go home and prepare a portion of it and bring it back to you in 2 days. And you'll find that they will find that a most exciting responsibility, and they'll come back with ideas that you might not have thought about. And then you put those ideas in your report, and whoever you make the report for, they'll say, wow, she is brilliant. She is so multifaceted. She thinks as though she were a dozen people, because she has asked a dozen people to make contributions to her work. Now, is that good? Very good. Is she going to be the outstanding nurse of the year because of it? Oh, indeed. And is she already the outstanding nurse of the year? Mm-hmm. Now, you see, when you feel sorry for yourself, you do one thing which is very difficult. You turn off all the juices in your body, all the enzymes, all the activities that make you work efficiently and powerfully. And you're out of energy. You're out of work. You're out of genius. You're out of focus. You're out of functioning. And you don't do it. I talked to another young man who is a very notable Indian here in America. And he was telling me that he had some problems. And that he isn't able to do the things he wants to do because he just doesn't have the time. And I told him, I said, you know, did you ever hear my story about the American Indian? He says, no. And I said, well, here it is. I said, when the rejects from Europe came to America, they met the American Indians, also rejects. They met the American Indians who wanted to remain as a primitive tribe in a very upgrowing nation, in a very outstanding nation that was just sparkling into things. And they wanted to remain primitive. And so they pled with the American government to give them reservations on which to live. And so the American government gave them... It wasn't the American government's idea, it was theirs. The American government was perfectly willing to let them become American citizens like the Germans, the French, the Italians, the Spanish, and whoever they may be, and live in the United States as citizens and run the United States as citizens. And I told them, you know, I have been aware of many American Indians in the past few years who are absolutely outstanding. They are geniuses in their field. They are brilliant. They are legislators. They are people who are fantastic. They are medical doctors. They are lawyers. They are everything, and they're great. But these are people who didn't take the handout from the government and then sit back and drink beer and do nothing. You know, they're people who said, hey, I've got imagination in me. I've got genius in me. I want to go out and be something. I want to go out and do something. I want to be creative and have a lot of fun. And so they did, and they do. Now, this is true for you, too. You, too, can go out and be yourself. Now, I said to him, you know, you lied to me. I say that to a lot of people. I said, you lied to me. You say you don't have time. You know, if your mother were very ill and needed to have you hold her hand, you'd be there, whether a day, a week, or a month, and you'd quit your job to be with your mother if it were necessary. And you don't take lessons in how to be a master. And so you're with your children at the seashore, and you don't know how to swim, and one of them is taken by an undertow, and you have to just stand there and watch because you can't swim and you can't go out and save the child. Now, if you had learned your lesson, you would have been ready to do that. You've been ready to take care of each little opportunity that comes along. And we create those opportunities coming along to challenge us to see where we stand and how we stand. Now, if you were a man and you had six children with you and you didn't know how to swim and you knew the undertow was in the ocean, would you go near the ocean? No way. No way. Because you love your children. You wouldn't put them in harm's way. But you see, this is what we do. We know our limitations, and still we try to transcend them by just forcing our way. And it doesn't work. We have to prepare ourselves along the way. Now, are you ready? Are you ready to stop saying to yourself, I feel sorry for myself? Are you ready to stop doing that? Are you ready to go out and say, hey, I can do anything. I can do anything, and I'm going to do it. Now, are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
And if you're ready, then what do? You go do it. You don't say, I can't do it. I don't know how. Maybe it won't work. If you say those things, then you don't expect it to work. You don't want it to work. You see? It's a silly thing, isn't it? A very silly thing. And why is it silly? It's silly because we know better. We know that feeling sorry for ourselves gets us no place at all. We know that feeling that the world is against us gets us no place at all. Because what makes you think that the world gives a hoot and holler in hell about you? You're not that important. You're not that important until you start thinking you're important. Mm-hmm. And when you think you're important, then the world will really care. Oh, how are you doing today? And if you look with your sad sack face and your downcast self feeling sorry for yourself, the world's not going to say, how are you feeling today? They're going to say, she feels like shit, then forget it. We don't want anything to do with her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, the world does not want to talk with a downcast person. It doesn't want to talk with a loser. The world wants to talk with the winner. And you want to talk with the winner. So why not be a winner and have everybody talk with you? Be a winner by first saying, I like me. I like me. I'm divine order. I'm peace. I'm wonderful. I'm fantastic. I like me. I like me. I like me. Why not do that? Why not?
I do.
Well, if you do it, you don't have to say it. You know? If you do it, you don't have to say it.
I do it. I like me.
Yeah, but what a bunch of garbage. I know it slipped out because you're struggling with it. You see, if you like yourself, you just show it. You know? If you're happy and you know it, show it down, you know? And clap your hands, do these things. But hey, if you are really happy and you know it, you will show it. And the world will know it. And you'll be a very joyous person. But if you're sad, and if you need to have a pat on the back, boy, do we have pats on the back needed around here, I tell you. Every time we turn around here, somebody needs a pat on the back for doing nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
You know, people, I drink a cup of coffee, and it's the privilege of the group here to fill my cup for me. I'd like to get up and do it myself, but they want to do it. So my cup is sitting here empty, and I look over it several times, and they don't even notice. They're off in their own little heyday, in their own little world, and they don't notice. And so finally I put my cup aside. Oh, would you like another cup of coffee? It's just a wee bit late for that, you know. I've already been uncoffeed long enough, you know. But really, do you like yourself?
Yes. And I like it.
Do you like yourself? Now,
yes.
Do you know it within yourself?
Yes.
Okay, then you don't have to say it out loud, do you?
No.
If you want to say it out loud, you can. But the thing is, what benefit is there for you to say it out loud?
Then nobody hears it.
Well, who cares? Don't you think they can tell by your charisma, by your magic of your soul, by your attitude?
Yes.
Don't you think they can tell by just looking at you how wonderful you are? Or how sad you are.
Yeah.
You know, when I go in the hospital and visit friends and they want me to visit dying people, I say, I'm not interested in visiting dying people. I'm interested in visiting living people. Now, you want to live? And they say, of course. Well, then stop being a dying person and being a living person. And they say, how do you do that? And I said, by changing your attitude about yourself. And they say, oh, you make it sound so simple. And I said, that's because it is just that simple. It's just that simple. The little boy comes along, and he's angry and shouting and screaming and angry, and the mother says, you little son of a gun, I'm going to beat the tar out of you. You don't talk like that around here. Or the little boy comes around and is all angry and upset. The mother says, well, 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 I see someone got you upset, didn't they? Now, what can we do about that? What can we do to make a change there? Because you're not the kind of boy that gets upset about things. You're not the kind of boy that lets anybody disturb you. You're always so wonderful. You're so fantastic. You're so entitled to it. Oh, Mom, but they did. Well, so You're going to let them do it more to you by feeling that they did it? Well, Job, hey, you're giving them power. Is that what you want? Hey, guys, come on over here. He wants to give you some more power to make him unhappy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. They come over and they say, what can we do? Well, hit him. Throw stones at him. Speak bad about him, you know? And what happens? The little kid listens to his mother. Mother, you are an actress. Mother, you're putting on a show. Mother, what kind of show is this here? That's not very nice. Well, it's not nice to let people push you around either. Well, that's what they did. No, you let them. You let them. Now, I tell you, let's you and I, we'll go outside and we'll talk to that gang of kids who are chasing you. And so they go outside and there's a couple of kids out there playing in the sandbox. And they say, were you chasing this kid? And they say, maybe. Yeah. Well, he said you were chasing him. Well, does he really think he's worth being chased? And the mother said, do you think you're worth being chased? Well, of course I am. Well, then, that's good they're chasing you, isn't it? They make you feel good. Well, that's silly. That's stupid, you know. And so the conversation goes until all of a sudden the boy realizes that, hey, he's barking up the wrong tree. He's looking for sympathy from his mother who's been there, done that, and is not going to let it happen, you know. And so he says, Mom, how come you're so smart? And she says, I married your dad. And I was smart before I married him, but when I married him, I was double smart. And then when I had you as my third son, by that time, I was five times as smart. And now, you got a little catching up to do. And you can catch up if you hang around with me. Well, Mom, can I hang around with you? Sure thing. Now, doesn't that make a totally different relationship? Isn't that a lot better than beating the devil out of him because he's angry? You see, we have to understand, why are we feeling sorry for ourselves? Why are we angry? And we're angry because we let something that somebody else did say or thought disturb us. And all we do is say, hey, I'm untouched. I'm beyond that. And they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And Christy heard the story about the lady who was at Sai Baba that we talked about today. Mm-hmm. And she says, that's me.
Oh, lovely.
Have a wonderful day. And know that I love you very much. And I have no compassion for anyone who wants sympathy. Because all of you are so good. You're so very good. You're so wonderful. That it's just unbelievable. I love you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.